Good morning. Our readings today are from 2 Kings 22, verses 8 through 13, and then it'll be 2 Kings 23, 1 through 4, and 24 through 25. So I'm just going to read it as a whole. And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the secretary came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam, his son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the secretary, and Azariah, the king's servant, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." Then the king sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the prophets, all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all of his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the threshold to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels made for Baal, for Kidron, and carry the vessels' ashes to Bethel. Moreover, Josiah put away the mediums and necromancers and the household gods and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might establish the word of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the laws of Moses, nor did any like him arise after.
We'll be reading from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Please be seated. So, it might be a little confusing because I kind of pieced apart pieces of Kings, of the 2 Kings 22 and 23. I kind of pieced them apart, mainly because after Josiah started to destroy the things of Baal and Moloch, it just goes on into great detail of everything that he destroyed. And so before we get into that, we probably should talk about the king before Josiah came in, which was Manasseh. So Manasseh, which was his father, was not a good king. So like it said in the end, no king before him or after him turned to the Lord like he did. So before him, Manasseh ended up becoming worse than the Amorites. The Amorites were a group of people that were very cruel, they were vile, They did sacrificial worship. Anything bad that you could think of, they did it. And Manasseh was worse than him. Okay, so up until that point, God has like been telling people that his judgment is coming, his judgment is coming, his judgment is coming. And he gave people ample amounts of time to, you know, turn to the Lord. In Deuteronomy, it talked about if people were turned to the Lord, he will turn to them and forgive them. And the people didn't do that. And then, so Hezekiah was the king of Israel. Now you got Josiah, the king of Judah. Israel had been wiped out, and then now the judgment is coming to Judah for their wicked ways. And then you got Josiah, you had the secretary, you had people, and they found the book of the law. So keep in mind just how much that law meant to them. They were Hebrew people. Yahweh, the God of their God, would have been a God that they took complete reverence to. And so the kings that decided they weren't going to do that, they kind of just put that book away, and then other stuff came into the mix. And so when they found the book of the law and they read it, they were like, oh my gosh, like, look at what we've done. Look at what these kings have done. And so you see that him tearing his clothes is a sign of repentance. So he was so upset, so distraught, that Josiah tore his clothes and fell on his knees and just started repenting to the Lord. An interesting thing is that the only reason why he did that was he heard the book of the law. Now, the law would have been the Torah, which would have been the first five scrolls. So you got the first five scrolls, that's all they had. It doesn't say what part of the law he had. Some people believe it would have been parts of Deuteronomy, because the law is pretty long. It goes from about Exodus, parts of Exodus, to all the way through Deuteronomy. And it's all laws, 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 laws. And so keep in mind, if he would have read all that law, it would have taken a long time for him to hear that, a long time for his secretary to even read that to him. So he didn't just read, like, you know, a little verse, you know. He didn't just open his book and read, like, a little verse. No, he read all of it. He read all of the laws. To them, the laws, it's hard to understand the old covenant and then the new covenant. So the old promise and the new promise. They didn't have scripture like we did, right? They didn't have Jesus. Jesus is the law. Jesus is the law. They didn't have that. They didn't have Jesus. They weren't even Christians. The term Christian didn't even come in, wasn't even a thing then, back then. So keep that in mind, that the things that we think about the Old Testament, they didn't have these things, right? So you got the new, and then you got the old, okay? They didn't have what we think that they had. So they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have the first coming. They didn't have him. All they had were God's laws, and those laws were always spoken through a prophet, all right? Someone who spoke for the Lord, all right? Because they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, where we could actually now communicate with the Lord because of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that. And they also, at this time, like Josiah mentioned, they didn't have the law. It was gone. It was lost. It was something that when they found it, it would have been like a shock, right? Imagine, think about it this way. When you were a kid and you lost a toy, your favorite toy that you could think of, right? You lost it. You can't find it. And then about 5-6 years later, you find it. And you're going to go run to your mom and dad. And you're going to go, oh my gosh, look what I found. That's kind of like what happened to them. They go, oh my gosh, look what we found. They read it. And then tears came in their eyes, the tearing of the clothes, like what Job did, and they repented. And then afterwards, Josiah made a promise. Now, how many times have we said to God, after we've made a mistake, have we said, God, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to do that again. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. And then we go back and we ended up slipping back into the way of the world. Josiah, however, didn't. As we go on later into the book, you'll find out that Josiah didn't just hear it. He didn't just say it. He actually went out and did it. So come to find out, there is an entire section from all the way from 5 all the way to 20. All that is just dedicated to the idols that Josiah took away or destroyed. There were many things that he destroyed. There were lots of things that were used in God's house that were used as like parts of the tabernacle that were used to worship God, that they were now like, okay, we're just going to use that to worship these other gods. So you had the god of Moloch, you had, which the Moloch god is a one where you sacrifice kids, young kids, and so, which was what his, I believe it was, would have been his father sacrificed his son, and so that is pretty nasty. You also had earlier, you had Jephthah, who actually sacrificed his daughter, and that was something that was in our my Old Testament survey class. We talked about that, and when you read that part of the section, it's almost as if he had no idea just what God actually was and what he actually required. God doesn't require sacrificial worship. In fact, he doesn't even want you to sacrifice kids. And so the reason why these things are different is because they were sacrificing animals. These people are sacrificing humans, and they got it like mixed up. They stopped. They took for granted God's word. They decided they were not going to use that. They pushed it away, and then they went back into the world. And over time, throughout the Old Testament, you hear about them coming back to God, and then back to the world, and then back to God, and then back to the world, and then it's back to God, and then it's back to the world, and then it's back to God, back to the world, and then it's all of a sudden God's like, you had enough time. I gave you enough time, I gave you enough warning, I gave you enough, I was patient, and now I'm not patient anymore. And we like to think about, it talks about the holiness of God. You don't get the holiness of God without God's just. God is merciful, God is gracious, he is also just. And so the Old Testament, you hear about the holiness of God. Well, the holiness of God isn't just that he's full of mercy and full of grace. To be a merciful God, to be a gracious God, he also has to be just. So everything that God has said that he was going to do, he has to do it. Otherwise, he's not God. Otherwise, he's someone else. Otherwise, he's just another person, and you wouldn't take him seriously. So throughout, leading up to Josiah, he said, I am coming. I'm coming to destroy this place, but because of what you did, because he repented, he wasn't going to see that destruction. Him and his family were not going to see it. We find out later that Josiah died. So clearly he didn't see the destruction of his people. And so for us, it's not like our people are going to be destroyed and we're not going to see that. It's more of spiritual. For us, it's when we turn to God and we get into his word, we come to find out that the death and destruction, we don't see it. It's hard for us to see it as Christians because we're not in the world, because we're not sinning or giving our life to Christ. It's very hard for someone who doesn't believe in the word to understand a Christian. So parts of what Josiah is, he had a complete reverence for Christ or for God, up to the point where he read so much of the word that he was like, I have to change. And for us, this is what the word is supposed to do for us. Not just that you read a devotional. I'm sorry, I'm going to say to it, devotional reading is not reading the Bible. You're reading a piece of scripture and you're getting someone else's interpretation. What Josiah did is he just opened the book of the law and read it until the point where it resulted in change. So he didn't just read for 5 minutes. Keep in mind, they didn't have cell phones, didn't have technology. Back then, they didn't even, most of their work, his work was, you know, a king, and so he was busy, but he also took time to read the word, or someone read the word for him. And he read it until something changed. And for us, I wonder how many times have we just read for 2 minutes, or we woke up in the morning and decided our Bible app was going to send us a notification of the verse of the day, and we're going to read just the verse of the day. What you fail to miss with just reading the verse of the day is you only get a part. You only get just a little piece. And nothing happens from it. You're not in the Word. You're not letting the Holy Spirit, not letting God come in and teach you about what's happening. For Josiah, it came with conviction. For Josiah, it came with repentance. For Josiah, it came with correction. That still happens. That's a real thing that happens. When you read Scripture, you come to find out that how long you've been away from it, just how much you are in need of it, and just how much it changes you. And that's what Josiah did. He repented. So repented means he changed his mind. He changed his mind about what was happening. And then he said, God, I'm going to do this. And then God was like, all right, let's see what happens. And he did it. Now, for us, we don't necessarily have the idols that they had. So we don't have things like that. But what we do have are, you know, work. You got money. You got cell phones. You got the internet. You got anything that you have that you put in front of God that then becomes an idol. Anything that you worship over the Lord is an idol. And what he did, and those idols, they can be physical things or they can be spiritual things, right? More so for us, it happens in here, in our heart. And what Josiah did is when he repented, he got on his face, God, forgive me, forgive my people. And then he made a promise to God that whatever is written in this book, I'm going to do it. Keep in mind, he only had the law. He only had the 5 scrolls. But for us, we have the whole thing, right? If someone like Josiah, who you don't know, he might have been illiterate, probably didn't understand it very well. He only had it read to him. He didn't even read it himself. It was only just a chunk of it. And he was completely changed. Not only that, his people changed. His people came back. And all they did is they just heard it from him. So when we don't just have 5. I mean, we have an entire book. We have a book, right? We have the whole thing. You have the old promise and the new promise. All they had were just what Moses wrote. Moses' laws, the laws, the decrees. They might have had Genesis, Exodus. It probably wasn't even called that. So they had a lot. They didn't have much. But everything that they did was in reverence to Christ. And they completely, completely upended anything that wasn't for God. I mean, they destroyed anything. You get later into the text and come to find out his people are, he was like, there was a prophet who spoke of what Josiah was going to do. And the people, and he was like, what's that? What is that thing over there? And it was a gravestone built to them. And they're like, if you read it, and you read in the way that they would have wrote it, it was like, dude, this is a guy who's a prophet, he's a Christian, he's, you know, he's done this, he spoke of this, he's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. I mean, he was willing to just destroy anything. Anything that was a monument, anything. He was like, I'm going to take that down. That's just how much reverence he had to God. That's how much he was going to do what God told him to do in the law. But he didn't know that unless he was to read the word. The title of the sermon is going to be called Sola Scriptura, which stands for Scripture Alone. Scripture, this phrase is Scripture is the highest authority. The word is the highest authority. Not that it's the only authority, right? You got police officers, you got other people that are in charge, but Scripture being the highest authority. The word isn't just, we can take for granted just how much access we have to books, to Bibles, to reading. We have a cell phone, right? This is a Bible. There's ample amounts of Bibles down there. I got a Bible here. I have 4 or 5 of them at home. I have an iPad. I'm sure you guys probably have the same. Anything. I mean, we have so much access to it, and we have so many words written. It's been translated into so many different languages, so many different translations that we just take for granted just how much access we have to this thing. But they didn't have that. What a king was supposed to do back then is they were actually supposed to translate. So every king that came into the office, that came into power, they were supposed to translate scrolls. So that way, each king, they had a different scroll. You can kind of see what God was doing. He was trying to, you know, get the word out, expand it, let it grow. But we, you know, we have a lot of access. They didn't have access. There might have been people in there that all they had to do was to just trust what their people were saying. They didn't have a scroll to them. Actually, for most of the time back in the wilderness, all they had was just Moses' words up until he wrote the commandments on stone tablets. So they didn't even have writing, and they still had reverence to God. So how much more do we need to have? We take for granted this access we have when there are people overseas that even carrying just a little piece of God's word could actually cause them death. Even talking about God over there, Yahweh, even talking about him, that could result in their hanging, lashing, beaten. There are people in China, or it's Japan, I can't remember. They actually have underground churches. They don't even have a Bible. They can't even have a Bible. And all they have is an underground church. And all they have is just singing and praising. That's all they have. And if you go and you watch these things, I mean, they are just completely in tune with God. Over here in America, Western Christianity, we can kind of take things for granted. And I'm not trying here to make you feel bad, but what I'm trying to say is that this book is important. This book isn't just words written by humans. These aren't just words on a piece of paper. This is God's word. So if you want to know what God is saying, open the book. If you want to hear who God is, who God was, what he is doing, open the book. It is good. So in the Psalms, Psalm 119, it's an acrostic poem. So meaning that each letter, starting with the Hebrew alphabet. For us, it's hard to see that because our book is, you know, English. Therefore, we kind of miss that. But it's an acrostic poem, so it's 119. So it's every single part is, I think it's 22 letters or letters in the alphabet. So each one is a letter going from the beginning all the way to the end. So this one, I'm going to pronounce it wrong. It's called Bet. And so it starts out with David just saying he wants to keep God's word on his heart. He wants to meditate on it. He wants to keep it here. He wants to store it up, right? We talked about a storehouse earlier before when I preached a while ago. You probably forgot about it. But a storehouse is basically where you keep your treasure. Treasure could be anything, right? Money, whatever. But he wants to, he's treasuring God's word. That's his treasure. That's what he keeps, and that's what he wants here. He wants to meditate on it. He wants it on his lips. He wants to keep his rules on his lips. He wants to keep it in his heart, right? You could then probably translate this to, you know, because God speaks to us too in our thoughts and our minds and in our hearts. And you could kind of, and that would be an okay for you thing, for an okay thing for you to say with God's word. But keep in mind, back then, when this was written, they didn't have that. David didn't have that, right? Prophets were the ones who spoke to people. David didn't have that. All David had was God's actual word, like actual writing. And so he wants to keep what he has read here, right? He wants to keep that here. He wants to study it. He wants to meditate on it. He wants to delight in it. And you even go on further, all the way until 24, he wants to delight in his statutes, right? He was a sojourner on earth. Hide not your commandments from me. Commandments being what is written in the word. And the only way that we get to have that is by actually reading it. Sometimes we can get so focused on our day-to-day life, consumerism, right, the 9-to-5. We can get so focused and busy that we forget that all God wants is just to spend time with you in his word. Long enough for something to change, right? Sometimes we like to put a time frame on God. We like to be the ones to dictate how long we and God gets to be with us in the word, instead of just saying, okay, God, I'm going to be here as long as you need me, whether it's an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is. Enough for when you open the book and you let God speak to you and you read it, if you don't understand it, that's okay. We can talk to the author who wrote the book. We can have a conversation with him. But open the book. The only way you get to hear what God's speaking, who God is by opening his word. And Josiah, he didn't even open the book. All he had was just someone to read it to him. And he changed like that. I mean, he changed. Everything changed. And that's what happens. When you read the scriptures long enough for something to happen, two things are going to happen. You either do it, what it says, or you don't. You either are going to abide by what it says, or you're not. Plain and simple. You're either going to do it, you're going to be with God, you're going to change your ways to his ways, or you're not. You either have truly repented or you haven't. You either have changed your mind about what's happening or you haven't. And a lot of us, me included, have fallen into the trap of, I changed, but only for 5 minutes, and then I'm going to go do what I want. It happens. But Josiah is different. He didn't just change his mind. Like I said, he actually went out and did it. He didn't just say he was going to do something. He actually went out and did it. And there is some gruesome stuff in the Bible. So when you actually read the more word for word, which is why I wanted this, is because later on you come to find out he actually killed priests. So he actually killed people. And I don't want to purify that, because the Hebrew language is actually kind of vulgar, right? It's a little vulgar, but it's written in that way because it's supposed to like make us go, oh my gosh. And it's probably not a good thing. I mean, God probably didn't want him to kill them, but he did it, and God honored that. He honored what Josiah did, which was he was dedicated to putting things away that were put in place of God. Later on, you come to find out that God did exactly what he said he was going to do. He actually did bring judgment to his people. This is only the Kings. When you read the Chronicles, it goes into deeper. When you read the other books from the other prophets, they actually prophesy what's happening. They talk in a greater detail, the destruction. You go read Lamentations, right? You hear about the author being very sad about what's happening to his people. And so what that is saying is that, one, God is true to his word, but God is also sovereign, and he cares about his people, and he's going to take care of them, and he keeps prophesying about someone coming in the line of David that's going to be greater than any other king, right? Not only is God just, he's also going to be taking care of his people. He's going to restore what's been broken, but he's going to restore what's been lost. But the only way that I knew that, and the only way that you get to know that, is by reading his book. We need to start saying to ourselves, sola scriptura. We need to start holding an authority to this. Highest authority. This right here. These small pages, or large pages, whichever is your preference, or your iPad. But this is how we know God. This is where we get to know God. Richard, not too long ago, brought up a river, right? The Spirit is like a river. It's living water, right? There are two things you need to survive. Water and bread. You've been drinking water, but have you been eating the bread? What does bread do? Nourishes, right? It's filling, right? We can kind of take for granted the bread. I mean, back then they weren't gluten-free. They weren't, right? They didn't have different kinds of bread or bagels or whatever. They had leavened bread, right? We come to find out that in Exodus, they actually were to eat and store up as much as they could, right? What that's referencing to is actually the Passover, which was Jesus at the Last Supper. But anyways, they ate so much that they became filled. What did they have in the wilderness? They had manna. Well, manna was actually this crumbly thing that when you took it apart, it was just little seeds, and the seeds grew into bread. Bread, everything that they ate, water, bread, was all a reference to God, bread, right? It's bread. It's living water, but it's also bread. It nourishes you. It fills you, right? Paul talked about putting on the armor of God, right? You got the sword and you got the shield. Well, we like to go into battle with our shield, but do we actually go into battle with the sword, right? You want to fight against temptation, are you just going to sit here and try to repel, right, until the point where your shield becomes damaged and broken, and all of a sudden you keep getting hit and hit and hit and hit with temptation to the point where you just give in, but you haven't fought back with the sword, with the word? Scripture is, it like we said, it's more than just a word. It's more than just writings on a book. It's more than just a scroll. It's living. And the only reason why it's living is because the person who authored it and wrote it is living. It's alive, right? There are some differences, right, between our culture, their culture, but it applies, right? All is good, right? Paul talked about the word of God being, it's good for everything, right? It's good for teaching. It's good for correcting. It's good for rebuking. Be careful how you rebuke, though, okay? But it's good, always good, right? If you want to teach someone something, right, about God, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to open the book, right? If you want to teach your kid about God, you're going to open the Bible. And that's what was happening. Josiah heard the word and he taught his people what was said. He told them what was happening. Because he was a king, they had to trust him, otherwise they were probably going to die. But nonetheless, he taught them scripture. He taught them scripture. And he read enough of it until it sank in. He read enough of it until something changed in him. And if you are nervous about opening the book because you might not understand what's happening, or you don't quite know, or you haven't had enough training, that's fine. Jesus' disciples are just a bunch of fishermen, and they could read and write. They could understand what was happening to the point where they actually became authors of the book itself. So don't take for granted, just because you might not understand something, that God can't teach you, because he's the one who authored it anyways. And so we get to actually have a conversation with the author. You have people around you in here that are more than willing to help you understand what's being written. But please do not neglect the daily reading that you need. More than just going to text study on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. More than just hearing it from me on a Sunday or Mike or Tori or whoever. But actually take time in your morning or evening to open this up. Open it, right? Let God direct you what to open, where to go, what to read, how to read it. because he wants you to understand him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you. There is one thing that is the same between all of us, that he speaks to us in one same way, right here. I can have a conversation with him through the Bible, just like all of you can. He speaks to me. It may apply to us a little bit differently, and that's okay. But for better or for worse, I mean, this Bible, it's not just something you stick underneath, right, to keep your table from falling over. But that's what they did. I mean, this Bible was so lost from them, or the scroll was, they actually probably put it away and then forgot about it. Or they rolled it up and tucked it away, and then all of a sudden they started to slip back into the world. The same as with us, right? You want to know why we're so stressed? You want to know why we're so consumed with guilt, grief, stress, anxiety? When's the last time you opened the book of the Word? When's the last time you opened it? Don't have to tell me. I don't want to know. You don't have to tell me. I don't want to tell you the last time I opened the Bible either. So, but it's good. It tastes good. It's honey. It's sweet. It's bread. It's not moldy bread. It's not old bread. It's living bread. It's good bread. So, like Josiah, if you want to fight against temptation, if you want to cast down altars, destroy idols, read the Bible. Amen.